Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
And the greatest father in all the land. Did you have a great Father's Day, Eric Zorn?
Oh, of course I did.
You're the greatest father in all the land. It goes without saying.
It's the first time I've heard this song from this altitude.
Isn't that?
And it's much better up here, I have to say. Very pleasant up here. You guys your new studios? You've probably been talking about it all morning. But
no, we haven't really, because the listeners don't care.
Oh, they do.
Not really.
They have a vision. They have a vision in their mind's eye of you at street level.
At the old place. Well, didn't the listeners also move? Or just us? I assume the listeners also
Everybody moved.
Moved
about two blocks south. That's how
and higher up. Yeah.
No, it's beautiful up here. You should send out photos
nice.
And stuff.
It's very, very nice up here.
Did you have a good Father's Day?
Yeah, though? It was great.
What did you think of Mary Schmeek's column yesterday where she said we should get rid of Mother's Day and Father's Day and have it be Parents' Day?
Oh,
there's
isn't
so
that
many,
interesting?
So many fluid definitions, and both these days tend to emphasize gender stereotypes.
Yeah.
And my dad died when I was 10, so on Father's Day, I used to give my mom a card to thank her for being both a mother and
nice.
A father to
right.
me. But I like the Parents' Day.
I do, too. I mean, the one thing, first of all, about Father's Day, I feel like as a father, I get fussed over a lot.
Do you?
In
yeah.
way. I do.
You do?
I feel like I'm appreciated, yeah.
You get
yeah.
fussed over?
Appreciated, yeah.
What
I do,
year is this?
I mean...
I don't know what you mean.
Let me put it a different way.
You get that?
I feel that.
Poor Jimmy Mack.
He doesn't get that.
In the course of day in, day out life,
yeah.
I feel like I get enough affirmation for being a father. And that, so I don't need this day where they make a big deal about it. I don't feel like, I'm not appreciated.
But you don't want to do away with it, as Mary Schmeek has suggested. You enjoy it for what it is.
You combine it.
I guess I don't feel like I need this extra day of being recognized. You know, the thing about every day is Children's Day. That
right,
thing.
Right.
That's a load of crap.
You don't think every day is Kids' Day?
Well,
kids get to do, the argument is a kid would always say, how come there's Mother's Day and Father's Day, but we don't get a Kids' Day? And then every adult says the same thing. Every day is Kids' Day.
Every day is Children's Day, yeah. Exactly. Well, but people don't take their dads out for brunch on Father's Day, do they? Because they let the fathers, I was explaining to Johanna yesterday, the reason the U.S. Open golf tournament is on, because this is the stereotype of dads. They like to throw themselves
sit around
in front
and
of the
watch golf.
And watch golf, like I did.
Yeah.
No, I think most people like to go out to brunch or some kind of restaurant.
On Father's Day?
Bill?
No.
We went out to dinner.
But you always go out to dinner.
We go out to dinner every day.
But this was a special one.
It was a special one. And Wendy, you already know this because I've told you this before. Whenever it's my birthday or Father's Day, my daughters make a speech and I burst into tears. Every single time. My wife even said, because yesterday it took a minute six, she timed it, that she came the closest. They have
a
pool.
Speech like about like Mexican exports, like a speech yes. they've given to their social studies class?
Embargoes and stuff like that. Yeah,
If you look at the map of the rainforest.
No, they both pull out the what I mean to them and how lucky they are. And
goodness.
I just burst into tears every single time.
Do your kids do that? Because my kids don't do that.
I got a text from Alex. It says, Happy Father's Day. Which was nice, I guess.
At least they remembered.
That was nice. Or they were prompted. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Either way.
I don't know. We're not a speech. I'm going to have to put that on the
the
agenda for next year. Yeah, we're having dinner, and your speeches will be after dinner. 10 minutes will be fine.
Yeah.
Nothing more than that. Yeah. Really, a speech?
Yeah.
Are they different every year? Do they just they recycle it?
No,
you don't do that many great things for them to be different every year.
I think they're talking about somebody other than me, because...
Are they ghostwritten? Are you sure that this is right?
They are.
Like, God, I was going to give you a speech, but it didn't arrive in time.
All right.
Or one of those things like when you're a college kid, you can order like a term paper.
Right.
It's like that.
Yes.
Well, I think they get a Mad Lib sheet. They just fill in various facts about me. All right. I know this is an awkward transition because it is such a tragic story. But can we talk a little about what's going on with the kids at the border? Because, boy, is this gut-wrenching.
How they're being snatched away from their families.
And put in essentially cages.
Yeah, this is just, I think this is the example of Donald Trump trying to whip up his base. And there's a certain percentage of people who are really in favor of this. And essentially what they're doing is...
How can you be in favor of this?
What the idea is, and most of the Trump administration is open about this, so certainly Steve Bannon, who's not officially part of the administration, but was sort of speaks for them still in a way, he was on ABC this week yesterday, and was saying that this is basically, this is the price that you pay when you try to bring your children across the border. And we want to enforce our laws, and this is the consequence of that. And President Trump has clearly made it made it the case that if the Democrats are willing to give him money to build the border wall, if they're willing to pass some sort of comprehensive immigration policy that gives him $25 billion or more to build this wall that he wants to build, then he will rescind this policy. And it is not. He keeps saying that it's his Democrats have a law. This is the Democrats' fault. That is not true.
There is no law.
And it's very interesting to see that a lot of objective news stories, places like the Associated Press, where they write straight news stories, say that this is just not true. It's not like a matter of opinion. This was a policy that they instituted.
Yeah.
And they're separating children, sometimes very small children. There's a guy who killed himself in his holding cell because he had been separated from his children. This is horrific.
There was a young person who had to change the diapers of another child because no one in this cage knew how to do it, and there was no parent to do it.
Yeah. I mean, and it's
unacceptable.
So essentially, they are holding these kids hostage to the border wall.
And then who gets them?
Well, ultimately, one hopes they'll be reunited with their parents at some point, maybe as they shove them back across the border. I'm not sure, but this is something that, you know, people keep saying online. You'll see people saying, this is not America. This is not America.
Yeah.
But the thing is that it has become America. This is who we are now. This is what this administration, this is how we behave.
But it can't be, this is who we are, because, I mean, I just can't imagine anyone really thinking this is a great idea.
I can't either. I can't imagine
even Donald Trump.
What this looks like. Well, Trump is talking out of both sides of his mouth on this, as usual. I mean, as he often does on issues, where he'll say, this is horrible, I don't want this to happen, and he'll say, if the Democrats only do this, then it won't happen anymore, trying to put some judo on it. But the truth is that this isn't a decision that Jeff Sessions made and Stephen Miller and all these people made this decision. They said it wasn't hard to make, and that they are using it for leverage. This is a deterrent. And they had the nerve to invoke the Bible, saying that the Bible says we should obey the laws of man.
What you just said is the worst part of this, is that Jeff Sessions said that this was a decision that was not hard to make. How can you, first of all, make this decision and then come out and say, no, this was easy to do?
Well, I think it was Miller who said the easy thing, but essentially this seems to be their point, which is that this was something where they just said, we are going to enforce the letter of this law and with this policy. And it would take one phone call or a one-page document signed by Trump to stop it.
Yeah.
And this wasn't the policy before. They weren't separating families like this before.
Yeah.
And they're doing it to gain leverage. They're doing it because they think that this will dramatize the problem. This is something that will get people excited and will get people who are really opposed to immigration really fired up. I think it's a huge political miscalculation. I think this is one of the great political blunders of our time.
So who comes up with the strategy of, this isn't going over quite as well as we had hoped, we better blame Democrats for this? Whose strategy is that?
Oh, that's something they've been doing all along. That was a thing with DACA, you know, the deferred action for childhood arrivals, the Dreamers, so-called, where they were saying, well, the Democrats were trying to figure out a pathway to citizenship for these kids, and then they would turn around and blame the Democrats for not voting on a bill that had all kinds of things in it the Democrats didn't want, that would also have allowed for a better path to citizenship for DACA. So they're trying to take this. They'll blame it on the Democrats. You're not solving this problem because you're not voting on this larger bill that contains a lot of poison pills in it. So that's the strategy. I think they realize that there are going to be people who are upset about this, but they're hoping that those people will take out their anger on the Democrats. I think that's a real political miscalculation. That is not part of the Democratic brand. You're not going to be able to convince people that Democrats are in favor of this or that they like it. This is what they want.
Yeah.
When you've got people like Jeff Sessions and Steve Bannon and Stephen Miller and all these people coming out and defending this and saying this is necessary to enforce our laws, you're reinforcing the fact that this is part of the Republican strategy.
Right.
And it has to stop. Something has to happen this week. And I'm thinking that maybe as early as tomorrow there's going to be some meetings with congressional leaders and Trump, and he's going to figure out a way out of this.
All right.
He has to, because
we'll see what happens.
This can't continue.
That's Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune. We'll come back with more discussion next. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune. Eric, you recently wrote something that's getting a lot of play, and that has to do with milk. What happened with the milk?
Hang on. There you go.
This is really... Let's do this again. So when we actually do it on the air,
yeah, it'll
right.
be clean.
No, this is something that I write about serious issues all the time. I wrote about the death penalty case last week. And I posted this on Facebook and then did a little column item on it. And this got like hundreds of responses. Mm-hmm. It's this. You go to the grocery store. I assume everywhere in the Chicago area, they, you know, the milk comes in a milk in a little gallon jug with a handle on it. And they sometimes ask you, do you want the milk in a bag? And I always say, yes, of course.
I always say no.
A bag. You'll say no. Well, here we go. This is the great debate. And can we, like, take the next hour to do this debate? But sometimes they don't even ask. They just put the milk in your cart and don't even ask. They put it in there. And my argument is that it is much easier to carry milk in a bag.
Yeah.
And especially if you bring your own bag, they should automatically assume that you've got space in your bag. It should be in a bag. It's easy. Even if it's just the jug in a bag.
Yeah.
And nothing else.
Yeah.
And it's heavy. I
sure
allow for that.
Could break through the bag. You have to double bag it.
But the little handle is not good for carrying. It's good for pouring. It's not good for carrying.
Oh.
It's got the little plastic ridge that can, like, hurt your hand. And,
yeah, right.
And if you're going to carry bags into the house, which we all must do at some point, you can carry a bag. You know, if you're on your hand, you can carry a milk bag and a bag of some vegetables in it. And
you can put it over your wrist. That's what the thing is.
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah, and so you can carry a lot more. And so I thought, like, why is the default? I mean, it's okay if people don't want it. I don't have a problem if Wendy is, like, weird and doesn't want to have her milk in a bag.
Well, can
okay.
I tell you why I don't want it in a bag? Because they make these bags so flimsy now that unless they double bag it, and even when they do, it's not strong enough to hold the milk.
Well, if they double bag it, it is. If they single bag it, you can have a little accident. That's true.
Yeah.
I've never had a problem with a double bag. And in Chicago, there's the additional issue of if you ask for a bag, you have to pay 7 cents.
Sure.
I always bring my own bag, so that's not a problem. But the reaction to this was what really surprised me. First of all, the people who ripped me for being a weakling.
Oh, no.
No,
really?
No,
come
they
on.
They ripped me for drinking milk.
I love milk.
Like, why?
Skim
you're
or 1%,
2%? You're a grown-up, 2%. You're a grown-up. You should not be drinking
milk. It does a body
milk.
Good, Eric.
It does a body good. You're right. Got milk, right?
Yeah.
Yes, there we go.
And I'm not slamming you, though.
And they ripped me for not using plastic instead of glass. You know, I mean, it's like I was just a whipping boy for everybody. But this is, I thought this was like, the thing that bothered me is that it's the default, the assumption that the grocery store's bag is that you don't want it in a bag.
Oh.
If the assumption was that you could say, like, oh, don't put it, if, like Wendy could say, no, don't put it in a bag. It's
sometimes
fine.
I do. It just, I go back and forth. I don't have a fixed setting.
But I got to say, what really surprised me was just the vehemence and the volume.
People were angry
at you. Response to this, like, I wrote a piece about the mayor and the sex scandal in the schools.
Yeah.
Last week, I wrote a piece about a court case I've been following having to do with one of the most famous murder cases.
Yeah.
I'm like, 5-10 responses, you know.
But this
literally 200 responses. People were like arguing with me, wanting to, you know, take me out. So it is fascinating to me sometimes how, and I think part of it is that maybe people are just so overwhelmed with, like, terrible news.
Yeah, right. They
terrible
need
stories
this.
Coming out. Now, this is something that we can really argue about and it makes no difference at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Tomorrow,
yeah,
so. Ask about laundry detergent because it's the same thing. Do you want it in a bag
of
or not?
Of course you want it in a bag.
Why? It has a handle.
Oh,
but that's a pouring handle, you're saying.
It's a pouring handle. It's all you can carry with one hand. Is that you can't carry anything else. If you're going to carry that laundry detergent in one hand, that hand is used up. You can't put
bags on. It's
going
to break the bag.
Yeah.
Well, it will break the bag, but that's why you need to double bag it.
What about, Eric, when they say, and would you like your eggs in a carton, sir, or just separate?
I'll juggle them home.
Just throw them in the bottom of the
Yeah, wherever.
Thing.
Wherever.
So I just want to tell you, if you're having like a lull at a dinner party sometime soon, sitting around, like, what are we going to talk about? Because you want to stay away from politics sometimes.
Yeah.
Say, you know, there's this jerk at the Tribune, you know.
But when you think about it, if you're double bagging a carton of milk, so in some places that's an extra, it's 14 cents. And I know people go, well, that's not a big deal. But over the course of a year, that adds up pretty quickly, doesn't it?
It does add up, and it's taken me almost 2 years to get, so I always remember. Now I live in the city, and you have to remember to bring your own bag.
How often do you wash it? See what I'm saying?
You never wash it, do you?
That's why I won't use it, because I'm too lazy to wash it. And what if you have raw chicken in there or something? You got to wash it. It's gross.
Yeah.
And I don't like being in behind someone at the checkout that these big, gross, dirty bags that have been in their soccer mom trunks are now on the conveyor belt.
Yeah. Wendy has really got this down.
Sure.
You know, this probably,
it's hard to make him switch.
This probably explains the outbreaks of food poisoning.
It's
all the raw chicken juice that's getting into
our
bread.
That happens about 6 or 7 times a year, doesn't it?
I've just sort of attributed it to bad luck, but now I know why. You could throw your... I don't... You know, that's, you're asking a good question. I don't think we've ever washed our totes.
Never?
I don't They don't look dirty, but that chicken, those chicken viruses, they are invisible. So.
Right, absolutely.
And the romaine lettuce, come on, that caused an outbreak of things.
That's true. But that, yeah, but so you can just take the bags and throw them in with your other laundry, right?
Yeah.
So you could.
I'd do it with towels.
I could do this. Then. Yep. I suppose it could happen.
Possible.
Hey, Steve Bertrand
is here. Steve Bertrand's got the Wintrust Business Lunch.
When Steve Bertrand walks in, that's when I walk.
It's time to leave. All right. Thank you, Eric, for being here.
Nice to see you guys.
We'll check in with Steve next. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.